This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
The world we live in today has a very violent and evil environment. Our headlines are filled with all kinds of horrific events and heartbreaking tragedies. Every day, we hear about conditions and circumstances that threaten our safety or our very lives from a variety of sources. The Apostle Paul said, "Know this, in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, and blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, and without natural affection. False accusers, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the very power thereof." Yes, evil does surround us in many forms and does affect us in many ways we don't even realize. And it doesn't seem to be getting any better anytime soon. But how does evil exist? Where does it come from? Who started it? How did it get started? And why did it occur in the first place? Well, stay with us as we explore these questions on today's program.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Bill Watson.
Well, hello, and again, welcome to another international telecast of the Armor of God. Good to be with all of you once again. You know, I don't know if you're like me, but I'll tell you what, the last couple of years, they have been disruptive and very disturbing. We've been surrounded, my friends, by a lot of things that, well, I just frankly don't think make a whole lot of sense. If you're like me, seeing things that are causing people to behave in certain ways, these last 2 years have been very, very difficult. And oh, the opinions that people have today. Everybody's got an opinion, you know. And what even makes it more strange is they all think they're right. They all think they're right. And you can get in debates. You can get into arguments. And I mean people, they are passionate about the things of what they believe to be right or wrong, good or bad, acceptable or unacceptable. It's amazing the things that you get into with regards to some of the discussions and things that we've been reading and seeing and hearing through all of the venues that we have available to us. And so it brings me to a question, and it can't help but not to present to you to be compelled to ask these questions, and that is, what is right or wrong? What is good or bad? What is evil? And where does it come from? And who started it? And what defines evil? That's a very important question on how do we define evil. And today is I want to talk a little bit about that. But before I do, I want to go ahead and break away as we normally do to offer to all of you a free offer that we have, and I want to emphasize free for all of you to acquire. One of our presentations, one is titled Entering Enemy Territory, and the other is The Origins of Evil. And by the way, you know, you can download these right off of our CG.org website. That's right. You can have them in your hands, download them before this program's over, before you can ever, you know, order them and get them hard copied to you. You can download them and have them right in your possession in a matter of minutes. All you got to do, again, as I say, go to www.cgi.org and just go ahead and download them. Go across to it and see the media, and you will see the offers made available there. Also, I want to remind you as well, we have webcasting services for all of you to participate in and to enhance your walk with God and Jesus Christ by just going ahead on our website. Again, you'll see at the top of the page where it says webcasting. Hit on that and you'll see our schedule, advertising programs that will come on certain days of the week as well as times of the day. And you can enjoy Bible studies, sermons, biblical news updates, Prove All Things, all kinds of video products that we have there for your edification. All you've got to do is go to that www.cgi.org. And oh, by the way, one more thing. We've got an app that you can download on your mobile devices, and it's so easy, so simple, and it's been collated in such a way where you can navigate through our website with ease. Very, very easy to navigate to our website to see all the products that we have, as I've already mentioned. So all you've got to do, and it's free too, is go to your app stores that you're normally used to, Google, Apple, whatever, those app stores that you're familiar with, and download it. It's a CGI app application for your mobile, specially designed, by the way, for your mobile devices. So one more time now, these two offers, Entering Enemy Territory and The Origins of Evil, both of them are one-hour presentations. That's 2 hours of what basically I'm just going to scratch the surface on with this program. So go ahead and get those. And again, let me one more time emphasize the fact that these offers are free. Nobody is going to be asking you any money. Okay, well, welcome back to the program. And as you know, and those of you who are just coming in with us, we are talking about evil. We're talking about the origins of evil. How did evil even get started? And by the way, what is evil? I mean, what standard do we use? What ruler do we use? What is it that we're measuring, whatever we're looking at, to try to make a determination on whether it's right or wrong, acceptable or not acceptable, evil or good? How do we make that determination? And you may say, well, Bill, come on. You're making something out of nothing here. Oh, no, I'm not, my friends. I'm not making something out of nothing. Just consider the fact about how there are people who believe that they can go ahead and kill thousands of people in the name of their God, Allah. Just think about the fact on how some of these jihadis can go and terrorize towns and villages with suicide bombers or commit beheadings of people all in the name of their God Allah, and think if they do get martyred, they're going to go to some erotic area of paradise for all eternity surrounded by beautiful women. Or how about others who take advantage of the less fortunate, people who are homeless, or like in some of our big cities here in the United States, whether it be New York or Chicago, elderly people, women and children being abused right on the street. I've saw footage of a man grabbing a woman and knocking her down just to steal her purse. Or how about some of these, well, what you could say, fat cat Wall Streeters who are actually stealing from people, but they don't admit it even after they're convicted, like Bernie Madoff, for instance. Or how about this Ghislaine Maxwell, who was caught trafficking young girls and dealing with pedophiles and consequently is in jail and still does not admit she's wrong? I think she's confused about what's right or wrong. And how about others who participate in human trafficking or drugs or prostitution? Or how about governments legalizing the killing of unborn human beings? Or governments attempting to advance and normalize homosexual marriages? How can these things be? So, as you can see, it's not easy to define what's right and wrong. And as I just portrayed, even sometimes governments, that's right, my friends, governments legalize things that, well, I think common sense tells you they're just not right. It's got to be wrong. And yet, my friends, people do not recognize it. They participate in things that somehow don't seem right, but yet, nevertheless, they don't consider it wrong. So, again, this brings me and tumbles me to ask some additional questions with respect to trying to come to this understanding on how do we define right from wrong? What is it that can give us some understanding about what's acceptable and what's not acceptable? I mean, who defines what evil is? Where did it come from? And what standard is it that we should use to define it? And why should that standard be used in the first place? Well, my friends, I don't want to oversimplify things, but at the risk of oversimplifying things, I want to introduce to you some logic. Because if we're going to go ahead and define right from wrong, well, then we've got to have a standard. It goes without saying, we have to have some kind of standard, because frankly, between you and I, if we don't, regardless then, without a standard, your guess is as good as mine. The culture I come from is maybe different from yours, and what you believe to be right, I would say, yikes, that's not right. That's wrong, and vice versa. You would look at my culture and say, look, that's not right. And I would say, yes, it is. Why, our government says it's right, so it's got to be right, right? And that's how people sometimes think. They think in terms of moral relativism or postmodern thinking. And today we've got people confused, as simple as it may sound, about their gender, on whether or not they're a boy or a girl. So, what is it that we use as our standard? Well, my friends, we are a Bible-based program. And as many of you know, we use this book right here as our standard. This book is the standard that we use on this program. So let me suggest something to all of you. On today's program, I want to share with you some things that this particular standard, this Bible, this book, Old and New Testament, 66 of them, and what it has to say about certain things. And it's interesting. Let me just suggest, just listen to what the book says here, and let me have opportunity to take this privilege, because that is a privilege to be able to speak to all of you here, and share with you some of what this book says, or books actually say, with regards to what it defines as right and wrong. It has a lot to say, a lot to reveal on what is right and wrong. And let me share this story with you to begin with. Over here in the book of Luke, in the New Testament, right before the Gospel of John, in chapter 10, we have an event that Jesus Christ claims that he witnessed. He claims after 70 men came back, he sent 70 people out two by two. They all came back very surprised, but all very encouraged over the fact that they were able to heal people. They were able to cast out demons in people. They saw things with their eyes that they couldn't hardly believe that they were participating in. And Jesus was essentially recognizing them upon their return. And here in verse 17 of chapter 10, the book of Luke, notice this. He says this, and the 70 returned again with joy. They were all happy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subjected unto us through your name. And he said unto them, listen to this, my friends. I saw or beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Interesting. I'm not going to digress into this, but Jesus Christ had a pre-existence before his incarnation as a human being. What Jesus is referencing here is a time in his life prior to his human birth through Mary. And he claims, Jesus does, he beheld Satan fall from heaven onto earth. Now, this is an interesting revelation, because especially when you go ahead and go back to the book of Revelation, and in particular, chapter 12 for a moment here. In chapter 12, we find that one-third of all the angelic host in heaven followed this demon, Satan the devil, an archangel at one time, a covering cherub of all things, and as a result are confined to this planet. This is what your Bible says, my friends. It's a tremendous revelation. And it does, if you do adopt or embrace this understanding, will answer a lot of questions for you, in all due respect. But notice this over here in Revelation chapter 12. We read this, and I'll break right to the subject matter here and cut to the chase. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, that's indicative of Satan the devil, having seven heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon those heads, his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. And then over here in verse 9, we see the rest of the story where it says, and the great dragon was cast out, and that serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. You get that? Let me repeat that, my friends. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. The whole world, your Bible says, is deceived by this demon and his minions. So it's no wonder. It's no wonder at all over here. As a matter of fact, the armor of God is named after this very scripture located in Ephesians chapter 6, where we read about the armor of God. And the armor of God is suggested to be worn by you and I at Paul's behest to wear it due to this fact. And you know what that fact is? Notice this over here where he says in verse 12, I'll go up to verse 11, chapter 6, book of Ephesians, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Why is that? Well, we just read Jesus saw Satan fall from heaven, and we just read in Revelation the whole world's deceived by this demon along with one-third of his whole angelic host. So with that in mind, it's no wonder that Paul recommends this in verse 12. Notice, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That means our battles are not with other human beings in many cases. As a matter of fact, what Paul's doing here, he's getting below the surface. He's getting to what makes, in some cases, evil tick and what manifests evil from certain people. And when you think in your mind about the Charles Mansons or the Dahmers of the world, or the Hitlers of the world, or the Mussolinis of the world, you begin to understand that evil comes from deep down inside and affords, with the knowledge that you have just been exposed to, of the fact that this demon fell from heaven, and in addition has one-third of the whole holy host at his fingertips, lends quite a bit of credibility to the fact and possibility that there's more to what meets our eyes when we deal with evil in this world. And Paul continues in this verse 12 of chapter 6 in the book of Ephesians. He says this very clearly. He says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against, look at this, now he's going to identify it, principalities, powers, rulers in darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places, or spirits, wicked spirits in high places. So this is important to recognize when dealing with your Bible, because your Bible has a lot to reveal with regard to the origins of evil. So with that as the backdrop, with that as our framing, How did evil make its way into yours and my realm, our dimension of life, where you and I take up space and time? Well, your Bible has an answer to that, or for that. And it's located over here, very quickly here, because time's running on me, in Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3 and in verse 1, we find that there is this nakish. Serpent is kind of it's not the best interpretation because it gives you connotations of a snake. No, this is a whispering spirit. That's what nakish means in the Hebrew. He's a whispering spirit. And he, basically, if you read down through this whole context, you find that he confronts Eve. He attacks Eve first. He approaches and targets her first and essentially challenges what God told her. And we know the story, at least I think some of us do anyway, about the idea of her doing something she was told by God not to do, and he convinced her otherwise. As a matter of fact, one of his first lines here is that he says in verse 4, because she said, well, if we eat of that tree, we're going to die. And he says in verse 4 of Genesis 3, he says, the serpent, he said unto the woman, you shall not die. God's lying to you. Come on. You're not going to die. And what do we have today? We've got thousands, millions, tens of millions, billions of people in different religions, whether it's Hindus, whether it's Buddhists, whether it's Shintoists or Christians, who believe when you die, you don't die. Why? Because you've got an alleged immortal soul in you, so when you die, you keep living, but you're in a different form, a different life form, a different species. You're a disembodied spirit. And that's the first lie right here in your Bible that tells you that's not true, as we understand, as you would begin to read through the remaining 65 books of this Bible, Genesis being, of course, the 66th. But that's another story. I digress. My point is here in this regard is that Satan, we find, interestingly enough, I don't know if you noticed it or not, but he was already there in the garden. How did that happen? Well, Jesus said, did he not? Remember Luke 10, verse 7, he said, I saw him fall from heaven, and he landed and took one third of the angels with him. On the earth, your Bible says, makes it clear in Revelation there, chapter 12. We read it. So if this is all true, and it is, because your Bible is the revelation of truth in this regard. But in this fact, Satan, then, we come to understand, is the originator of sin. Yes, that's right, my friends. Satan, the devil, he was the one that committed the original sin, not Eve. Satan, the devil, committed the original sin. And as a result, he has influenced and taken the time, my friends, to go ahead and persuade and dissuade and convince human beings to participate and partake in things that this book defines as wrong. That's right. As a matter of fact, the first five books of your Bible, of the Old Testament, is called the Torah. It's called the Law. And everything from soup to nuts in those five books, you can pretty much get a grasp of what God expects of us in obeying that particular aspect or command or request or demand or mandate of a certain behavioral characteristic. And your Bible is loaded with little vignettes, Book of Proverbs, Psalms, the Book of Exodus, Deuteronomy, Leviticus, all kinds of statutes and laws managing our behavior as human beings with each other in relationship to with each other, whether it be sexual or whether it be hygienic, what to eat, what not to eat. There are so many things in your Bible that so many people are not aware of or in tune with and consequently are partaking in things that God considers to be evil without even knowing it. And it's sad. It's unfortunate that people don't take the time to become acquainted with what God expects to be right and what he expects consequently of each and every one of us, if indeed we're going to stay in the graces of and in the favor with God. So, my friends, in realizing that if indeed the Bible defines the law of God and what he expects and identifies and defines as right and true and good, and the Apostle John says that the definition of evil, aka sin, is the transgression of that law. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, look it up. The transgression of law is sin. So if indeed sin, aka evil, okay, evil equals sin, sin equals evil, if indeed evil is defined by the transgression of God's law, my friends, you need to repent of disobeying those laws, of transgressing those laws. Turn around, change your life, and get it in line with the example of what Jesus Christ illustrated to be the right way to live. Because you see, most people don't recognize Jesus Christ, but what Jesus Christ was doing was he was personifying the very law of God in a human being. It was like God said, look, here's what I want you to do in the Old Testament. Here's what I want you to do. But then when Jesus came, he said, look, watch my lips, because here's the example. Here's the example that I want you to follow, because this is how a perfect human being should look and live like. And my friends, Jesus Christ is that template. He is that example. And we, as human beings, need to repent of our wrong ways. Get familiar with what we should be eating and what we shouldn't be. Who we should be sleeping with and who we shouldn't be sleeping with. All the things that God expects of us is right here in your Bible, but we've got to have a willing heart to change our direction, to change our way, and make that 180-degree turn and accept Jesus Christ as your example in life. Friends, time's run out on me once again here, but let me again remind all of you, we've got two free offers. One, entering enemy territory. The second one, the origins of evil. Both are one-hour presentations of CDs and or download them. As I mentioned to you, download them right from our website at www.cgi.org and get these free. Let me emphasize, free offers for you to participate in, enhance your walk with God, and help you to grow in grace and knowledge. My friends, this is Bill Watson, and as we always do, let me remind you, you keep on that armor of God so that you may be able to stand in this evil day.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.